Hey, welcome to the Coaching Minds Podcast, free resource for mental training plan. Today we are resurrecting OTS on the spot. We've got Zeke and Comer are still in here, and we actually just started having this conversation right after we finished up recording the last episode. And just I had this question, and I thought, you know what, why don't we just toss the headphones back on, turn on the mics, and this is truly what on the spot is, right, Zeke?
Oh, I love it. I love on the spot, but it gets me a little nervous because you just don't know what you're about to say, what the question is. But that's for all of our viewers to find out that we're just regular people that we don't know, but we're just here.
Yeah, that's right.
So here's my question, Comer. Like, you know, because you've got all these people all across the world, except Antarctica still.
Yeah, we're working.
We're working.
No one there yet.
You got all these people that just heard you say you're maybe potentially interested in taking some people on this trip, on this journey. But then, you know, there's also like this, and I feel like we're seeing this in this new era of college football with the transfer portal, mm-hmm. where people can just come and go. I mean, here's, you know, the most extreme example in my mind is, you know, looking at Ohio State. Here's a starting quarterback. At the end of his junior year, just took his team to an 11-1 regular season, and then leaves and goes to Syracuse for his senior year. There's got to be a new challenge for college football coaches to be able to build like that, you know, this trust, because you were talking about, you know, just the boring details, Matt, about your Grand Canyon hike. You know, you were talking about going through your equipment, going through your checklist, visualizing the different locations, visualizing the path. You know, in the military, they talk through every single possible scenario, every single possible, you know, well, what if this happens? What's our contingency plan? Is there in this new era of college football, is it more difficult than ever to really truly put together a team that you know is not going anywhere and is not going to quit on you? Is it even possible? Is it like, you know, if things don't go their way, they're going to do what's best for them. They're leaving. I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying as a coach, is it even more difficult now to put together that team? What does it look like to really truly build together that team? Because, I mean, there had to have been a piece in your mind, Matt, when you guys were on this hike, that it was like, all right, no matter what happens, these guys are in it and we're finishing this together. Talk to me just a little bit about your thoughts on this topic.
It's just going to be different. It's going to be more like professional sports. I think you need to really map out your program to who you want. I think you kind of need your culture guys, and then you go out and pick your stars as they're available. I don't know, there's a new dynamic where the group of five conferences, like the MAC, they're the only ones recruiting high school kids now. And then the Power Five,
developing them for the Power Five.
Are they the new minor leagues of college football? I think GMs, head coaches of college football now have to now start look at professional models.
Yeah,
you're going to be bringing guys in for 1 to 4 years, and however I don't know how NIL works. You know, I know how it works, but like, can you put them in some sort of a year contract, 2 year contract? Can they get out of it whenever they want? It's a whole new dynamic, but I definitely think culture is going to be bigger now than ever. How can you have someone come in? Well, even like Ohio State, you know, they're getting this kid from Kansas State.
Yep. Yeah. Quarterback.
So, you know, he's got to come in there presumably now, maybe for the spring semester, obviously get all his teammates to buy into him. Learn the system in the spring and be ready to roll by August. That's not easy. You know, so coaches now have to be even better salesmen, if you will. But their number one thing has to be that locker room. It has to be the culture of the program where kids come in, and you have to recruit the right kids. But it does seem now that they're just taking anybody. Like, unless they recruited them, maybe they recruited him out of high school. So they've been following this kid at LSU for 2 years. Like, I know him. I recruited him 2 years ago. He's good. Let's bring him on. But some of these guys jumping, like the Ohio State quarterback, does he know someone at Syracuse? Did someone go there? Maybe. But that's a big jump just to go into something. So culture is going to be more important than ever. It's got to be lasting, and the locker room has got to have some veterans in there. So you almost got to recruit some that, like, he's a 4-year guy.
Yeah.
And then you got to recruit your own players weekly.
Yeah.
It seems like you rub a kid the wrong way, he could be out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy.
I imagine most of the coaches, older coaches for sure, that you hate this new era of the athlete where, if you rub them the wrong way, right, if, you know, they didn't get to play as much as they wanted, they're out. And that's kind of the new where you've kind of just seen it throughout. Maybe, you know, in middle school, a kid, you know, he went to play with this AU team with this guy, and then but they didn't get to play much. So, well, we'll just go play with this team, and they kind of bounced around. Well, that's just going to continued into college sports.
Like, I mean, that's continued into high school sports.
Sure, oh, right? Just bouncing around, right? So, like it, whatever, you hate it. That is what you have, and we have in front of us. And I don't think that's changing.
No.
And so as coaches, what can you do? And I think you're right. Like, as far as the college scheme goes of like, well, you recruit, you know, maybe like, I hate to say lesser players, but people that, you know, they're going to be here and they're going to be solid. And then maybe they're kind of like salesmen, right, to try to keep these guys here. But I think that we're going to see more change coming. I think it's like the floodgates hit the NCAA with transfer and NIL, and now you're just trying to backtrack and try to come up with a plan, because I think everybody's probably in agreement that it's not a great system right now, what's going on. I love that the players are getting some of the money that they are bringing in to the universities, but I don't think it's a good system for life of, I don't like what's going on, I'm just going to leave, and right, I'm going to go find that, like you're saying, Comer, like grinding it out, and you're going to have to work. Yeah, we're bringing in this 5-star quarterback, and yeah, you're a really good quarterback, but you got to get better, and you got to work. And it's kind of just getting to that. Like, when you're married and you have kids, it sucks. You can't just be like, I'm not happy with what you did today, my wife. I'm out. I'm going to leave. You know, people do that, but that's not what makes life great. And you just got to learn that there's going to be hard times. You've got to push through those, and it's going to be worth it. I mean, right, we talked about that in your podcast, Matt, of how you've got to push through it, and it's the journey of getting there.
Right.
Imagine if Ohio State is to win the national championship next year, and that quarterback was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the reasons were he transferred, but whatever it was, like, he pushed through all that. How worth it would be sitting there. I don't think he's going to get that at Syracuse. I just don't think, for whatever reason, he went there. Like you said, Matt, he knew somebody. Maybe there's family that's there. Maybe there's a legitimate reason. But I don't think it'll be as satisfying as what it was at Ohio State. And I could be wrong. I don't know much on it. That's why we're on the spot.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know. I don't know necessarily those reasons. I know it can't feel good as a junior that just finished up an 11-1 regular season when your coach is asked who the starting quarterback is next year, that his answer is, I don't know.
Right.
Open competition.
But that, like, doesn't mean you just leave, right?
I'm not disagreeing with you, but if I'm at the same time, like, if I'm Kyle and I'm thinking, you know, there's a chance that if I go somewhere else, I can develop my game, I make it into the NFL. There's a chance that if I stay here at Ohio State with this staff that's already not happy with me, I'm already, you know, behind the eight ball a little bit. Maybe I don't even play. Maybe I don't even have a shot at the NFL. I don't know. I don't want to get into the specifics of, like, what's driving those individual athletes, because, you know, we'll save that for the ESPN talk shows. But I am intrigued, Comer, what you were saying about, like, potentially being able to sign them to a 1-year or a 2-year deal, get a little bit more commitment out of them, solidify that a little bit more. And I completely agree, Zeke, what you were saying. Like, it's the Wild West right now. Right. Like there's going to have to be some reining in of things.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, do you start giving them contracts? Like, I understand, like, coaches leave, you should get a chance to leave.
Sure.
You know, to a point, but they're getting huge buyouts. Right. Like, they're not leaving, like, whatever reason they're leaving for, or they're fired, or, you know, a lot of times the top coaches don't leave on their own for another day. It's like the MAC schools, like, if they have a great year, they'll leave.
Yeah.
But even with the kids, like, if you sign into these things and they want to leave early, you know, they got to pay back. Or, you know, if you do something where you offer or you want them out to free up that scholarship, you have to, you owe them a buyout. I don't know. Like, I think it's just got to be a professional model where some of this is now guaranteed. Or you got to, like, you got to sign your name on a dotted line and stick to it. Maybe that's the thing right now, is there's no accountability. There's nobody holding them to these commitments. And again, they're verbal. Every kid now, you know, he's happy to leave his university, and then he puts on Instagram how thankful he was for them. And I'm like, well, if you're that thankful and it was that great of experience, you don't know what's going on. So it's tough to say, but maybe, you know, some sort of, you know, we're not going to verbal, we're going to sign here.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave early, you're going to pay back this scholarship. You know, so hopefully your new school's paying you NIL money and you can pay us back. However that works.
Yeah. Maybe it does become like a truly professional model where, like, Deion shows up at Colorado and he says, all right, here's who I'm bringing in, and we're going to commit to this program for this year, and everybody's here for this year.
Right.
And that, you know, maybe that is the way that you go, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I appreciate you guys being a part of On the Spot number three.
I like it.
Another question for you guys. Just happened here in the NFL where they've recently finished up week 18 of the season. Mm-hmm. Dan Campbell has developed this culture and mindset with the Lions, who were really bad not too long ago. And now it's this, like, we're grinders. We're going to get after it. You know, it doesn't matter. And, you know, they just got really screwed over in the Dallas game. And he was like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're going to show up. You know, that game's done. We're going to show up. We're going to work harder than ever. This is going into week 18, so on and so forth. Week 18. They've already solidified their spot as the number two seed in the playoffs. Most teams sit their players, their best players. But Dan's got, he's like, we've got this mindset that we are going to work as hard as we can. This is an opportunity to play. Controversial of him playing it. One of his star players gets hurt. What are you guys' thoughts? Like, you know, you've developed that culture. You've developed that mindset. You know, did he take it too far? Is it that gray area there? What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I don't think so, because that's the culture he set. You know, luckily he's built in that culture. Like, this is how we do things. You know, now it's going to be the next man up. So I have no problem with it. As long as that culture has been established, that trust has been established. You know, no one came out later, none of the players, and like, I knew we shouldn't have played. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, so they rested a lot of guys. You know, the quarterback, I understand. Some guys that were hurt, they played because they needed to see him play in action. Other guys were banged up and they sat him. So it's one of those things that if he doesn't get hurt and they go on to win the Super Bowl, you know, it was the greatest thing ever. But, you know, hindsight's 50-50. Those are always tough. They're good to talk about. Almost like that the Colts play. You know, I don't think anybody disagreed with the play call, but if that guy catches it,
it's phenomenal.
It's
right?
phenomenal. Like, what a coach to put his trust in the third string running back and give him a role. And for that guy to, you know, what a great coaching job, what a great job by him. But since he dropped it, everybody's like, why is the third string running back in there? And I think he even said that, like, it's the NFL. Like, these things happen. You know, I've seen stories of NFL guys getting hurt at home. I don't know. It's definitely, you know, 50-50. Me personally, I probably just rest guys. But that's, like you said, that's the culture he built. That's the way he does things. So no one's surprised by it. It's almost like, you know, he gets hurt. Well, that's how we do things.
Yeah. You know, but I do think, like you're saying, a testament to his culture is you didn't have guys that were like, I'm not playing,
right,
or that came out in the interview afterwards, like, yeah, we really didn't want to, but like, they're bought in. I mean, you can see with the product on the field, they're bought in. And I just think it's a testament to him. Ben, what do you think?
I feel like since Barry Sanders left, like, what have the Lions had? Like, what have the Lions done?
Hey, the Megatron. Like,
look at,
But that was a quick glimpse.
Sure.
And that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they are a legit fun team to watch. Like, my inner spread the field and throw the ball all over the place. Offensive coordinator self is kind of like, well, I don't know if I'd want to run this kind of offense. But I mean, how do you turn that on and not want to cheer for the guy? Like, how do you turn on this, you know, hard-nosed style of football that maybe has been missing for a while as we've gotten a little more spread, you know, a little bit less the big personnel, a little bit less downhill, you know, power running game. Manny's fun to cheer for. Absolutely. And I almost feel like if you are going to build your program around doing things tough as hard as you can every single time and competing until the final whistle blows, and then you don't do that in week 18, I almost feel like it does more harm than good to the culture of your program.
Yeah.
And you almost like you got guys that are like, well, is this all just a bunch of fluff that he's thrown around? Like, he had a chance to put his money where his mouth was, and he did. And, you know, somebody got hurt, but it's the NFL, next guy up. I mean, in the Comer, I'm glad you brought up the Colts game. Like, I think
me too.
Let me rephrase that. I'm not glad about the Colts game. I'm glad you brought up that topic, because I think the thing that stood out to me culturally after that play call was when they stuck a camera in Jonathan Taylor's face, he said, we trust our coach.
Right.
We trust our play caller. He's been putting a masterpiece together all year. I mean, the dude's been working with, he's been working with backups the entire season.
Right.
Sure. Like, why, this isn't like he's coaching, you know, six-man football in rural Montana and putting in the third string kid, like, can barely tie his shoes. Right. Like, he's putting in the kid who was the best player at his high school, one of the best players probably at his university.
And now was a stud.
Right. Yeah. And that, like, now all of a sudden, we don't trust two grown men that are professionals to complete a pass 2 yards downfield. Like, well, maybe they shouldn't be in the NFL then.
Right.
Like, so I don't know. Like, should you hand the ball to JT and let him get you 1 yard, let your $46 million running back pick up a yard for you?
Right.
Sure. Is it a good play call to, you know, put some third or fourth string guy that no one in the world is thinking, oh, the ball's going to him, hide him in the backfield and then release him out into the flats? I don't know. You could argue that's an even better play call.
Yeah. And we're a prisoner of the moment, right?
Absolutely.
And the Colts, they threw the ball the most in the NFL on like fourth and third and less. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what the Colts have done.
Sure.
And Shane, you know, that's their identity. Like it or hate it, that's what they've done. And, you know, it failed in this moment. Right. So then you question everything.
Right.
I think people forget that he didn't drop a touchdown. Like, he dropped the first down. They still had to score.
Right.
Like, they are.
We hadn't done much of.
They are assuming that, because even if he caught it, he falls down. You know, it's first down, which is good. Game's not over. But the defense isn't going to lay down.
Sure.
I mean, he could have thrown a pick. If that happens and then they hand it off to Jonathan Taylor and he fumbles, like, it's a whole different narrative, but the same result. So, like, this whole thing that the Colts lost on that play, and we've talked about in football before, that was the play that ended the game, yes, but there was probably a lot more plays to be made.
Right.
Defensively, you know, get another takeaway somewhere.
Right.
You
know, every single position coach will be able to go back through his guys and find, if we would have done this, the outcome maybe could have been a little bit different.
If he catches that, it's not like the Texans were going to lay down and let them score on the next play. I mean, they still had to win the game. They're still behind. So,
and if you score quickly, CJ Stroud has the ball in his hands again. Like, there's no way you can blame the game on that.
Right.
I do agree with you though, Ben, that the response from that guy as well.
Yes. Solid.
It was great response. That's a mentally tough guy. Ben and I talked earlier, he could have just taken the fine and not talk to reporters.
Absolutely.
And say, nope, I'm doing it. Could be, but he was a man about it. And you got to, sometimes you got to man up to your mistakes.
Yep.
And yeah, you screwed up. That doesn't make you any less of a man.
Right.
It makes you more of a man. Yeah. Just man up to it. And so I was, you know, as angry as I was in that moment, to see that from him was like, oh, okay. He is a human. He's a man.
Right. Like, and he said it, and we tell the kids this and tell my daughters, like, he even said, like, that play does not define him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, you as a football player does not define you as a man, like you said. So when he said that, like, that was spot on, you know, for him to have the composure, wanted to sit in front of all those people and answer questions.
Right.
After probably the most devastating play in his life.
With obviously still some tears in his eyes. One of the most disappointing moments maybe of his career.
Yeah. It's good to see. Obviously, he says, like, go talk to my parents, probably the only people that love me right now. I thought that was great. Yeah. Like,
was it Franklin that gave him a hug after the game?
I believe so.
He mentioned his teammates were still.
Just walked over to him, grabbed a hold of him, gave him a hug, said, you know, that whatever version of this isn't your fault came out of their mouth. I mean, just time after time, there's definitely some good culture pieces in that locker room.
Yeah, there is.
Good stuff. That's the beauty of on the spot, right? We have no idea what the questions are going to be, where the conversation is going to go, just sharing some thoughts with you guys. So as always, if you enjoy the show, would love for you guys to share this with somebody. Would love for you just in conversation when it's, you know, hey, what are you doing this offseason to improve yourself as a coach? Send people our way. Tell them about the podcast if that's something that you find value in. If you're interested in learning more about the MTP Academy, if you're interested in learning more about how we can help deliver the content for you so that your players can come up with a plan in your facility and you can support them, you can hold them accountable, you can help them implement these mental skills, these mental tools that we're talking about, please head over to mtp.academy. The link is in the show notes. If you've got questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Social media, Mental TR Plan. Or if you head over to mentaltrainingplan.com, there's a contact form there. There's a contact us at the bottom. Fill that out. Would love to have a conversation with you. Hope you enjoyed the show. As always, till next time, make your plan and put it to work.